Hi, I'm Andrew Connell, and in this module on the Partner Center SDK developer training, we're going to talk about managing customers. So we have a big module here to talk about managing customers because this was one of the big areas that I know that a lot of customers were giving a lot of feedback for and a lot of requests from the Crest API. So we're going to cover a lot of stuff here. I'm going to first talk about some of the new capabilities from an overview on what we can do with customers in the Partner Center SDK. We're going to review some of the stuff that we could also do with the Crest API as well, but we're going to focus mostly on the Partner Center piece. I'm also going to talk about getting Partner Center customers, how to create customers, how to delete customers, which is really useful for the integration sandbox, since you're limited to how many customers you can have in the integration sandbox in the developer accounts. How to get a customer profile, managing customers, and then getting customer subscriptions and orders. And then I'll talk a little bit at the end about some common issues that I see customers running into or partners running into, and how you can avoid them ahead of time, and or how you can spot them and how you can address them if they do happen. So let's dive in. Let's first look at some of the new capabilities we have in the Partner Center SDK overview. So first, from the customer's point of view, customers are stored in the partner's Azure AD tenant. The Crest API enabled some programmatic functionality in the sense that there were some additional APIs were required to deal with and look at your customers as far as the CSP program was concerned. But the way you did that was with the Azure AD Graph REST API. You couldn't do that with the Crest API. The Partner Center SDK is going to make it easy to query and manage a partner's customers now. So the Crest API enabled many customer-related actions. You could create customers, you could get a customer with specific Azure AD tenant ID, get orders, get an update billing profile, get customer subscriptions, and you could delete them. But you had to use the REST API, the Azure Graph REST API to do some of that stuff and to do things like reading all the customers or querying for all your customers that you have. That's a bit of a downside because if you have two endpoints you have to hit, that means you have to go to Azure AD two times to get two different access tokens for two different resources or two different audiences, one for Partner Center or Crest at the time, and then one for the Azure AD Graph REST API. So what's new for customers in the Partner Center SDK, or almost more specifically, what's new for partners in the Partner Center SDK? You can get a list of customers with filtering and sorting and paging options. You can search for a customer by their name, by the company name. You can search for a customer by domain as well. And you can also update a customer's tenant profile or billing profile. And then another really big addition is customer address field input validation. To where you can go get a bunch of information about your geography and return that and use that to compare it against the address that was passed in by the customer to see if it's a valid address. So let's first look at a scenario on querying partners' customers. So how are you going to do this? Now, this is the part of the course. We're going to start to go into a bunch of the modules where you'll see that we'll talk about how to do something, look at a scenario, how to do it with the managed API, how to do it with the REST API, and then we'll do a demo and we'll look at the actual trace and the actual code from the sample SDK console application. So first we're gonna look at querying a customer. We're gonna first authenticate using user or app only, app plus user or app only, and get an instance of the iPartner object. Then we're gonna create a query object and then run that query getting an instance of the seat-based resource collection, and then we'll loop through all of the results. So let's take a look at this. The page query and via the managed API, what we're going to do here is we're going to do the get a scope partner from the previous slides. And when I say previous slides, I'm talking, let's go way back to the beginning of the course where I showed you how to authenticate and how to get an instance of the iPartner object. We're not going to review that in every single upcoming module because it's all repetitive. So then I'm going to create a query. Now, the way I'm going to do that is by going to the query factory object, which is queryfactory.instance.buildindexquery, and then pass in the 25 to say how many different items do I want to get. I'm then going to execute the query and get the results. I'm going to do that by saying, go to my partner object that I got at the top of the slide and say .customers.query, and then pass in that query object. And that's going to give me back a seat-based resource collection. I'm then going to enumerate through all the items in the resource, the results object, and that way I can look at each one of the customers that came back. Now, you can see here in the console .write line, what I'm doing is I'm writing out each one of the company names for all the different customers that came back. What if I want to do a filtered query using the managed API? Well, the way I'm going to do that is by saying, creating a new simple field filter. And I'm going to use the company name as my filter. So you see here that I have a customer search field, and that's got a list of all the different properties that I can filter on. So in this case here, I'm searching based on a company name. Then, and that's an enumeration, so I'm just doing a toString on it to get that, to pass that in. Then I'm going to look at the filter field operation. I want to do a starts with, and then pass in the letter A and say, I'm looking for all companies whose name starts with the letter A. And then I'm going to execute the query. So I say query factory.instance, build a simple query, I pass in the filter, and I get a query object, and then I execute the query the same way I did as you saw on the previous slide. Now, what if I want to do the exact same thing, but I want to do it through the REST API? Well, again, I'm going to have to authenticate, and then I'm going to issue an HTTP GET to the V1/customers endpoint. I'm going to include the authentication request header and all the additional required HTTP request headers. So here's what a request would look like. So I'm issuing an HTTP GET, and then I'm passing in the endpoint that I want to hit. Now, if you looked at an actual request, these two things would be on the same line, but just for readability, I've broken things up a bit. So you see here I'm going to the api.partnercenter.microsoft.com/v1/customers, and I'm getting the first 25 items. Then I'm going to pass in the request header for authorization to authenticate. That's my Partner Center token. I've truncated a bit just for readability. I want JSON data back, so accept equals application JSON. The locale is EN-US. The contract version is number 1. And then I have 2 GUIDs, one for the MS request ID and one for the correlation ID. How would I do a filter? So the filter is going to look very similar, except I've added on an additional attribute or query string value called filter equals. That's going to be passing in the field of display name, the value of A, and the operator of starts with. And that's going to be the same query that I just showed you a moment ago. And then everything else is the exact same. Here's what I would get back. So if I'm getting back a collection of items, you will see I get back an object. So I've got the open and curly brackets. I get back a property called items. It's an array of items, and you see I have my first one. I've gone ahead and opened it up, and I've pulled out some of the fields for some readability here. But in this case, you can see what the ID of the customer is, the relationship to the partner, they're a reseller, and then I have the rest of the stuff too, like company profile, I have a company name, I have a domain, and additional objects as well. And then at the bottom, total count of the items that came back, 2. Now, let's look at this filtering syntax. I talked a little bit about this in the REST API slides, but let's take a look at it here. In this case, the way it's going to be set up is that this is going to be a JSON object that I'm putting in the query string and setting it to the property of filter on the query string. So I'm passing in a field of display name. I'm setting the value equal to A and the operator equal to starts with to look at all the company names that have a display name that starts with the letter A. So here's a list of all the different things that we can do as far as the enumeration goes between filtering these things. So you see I have equals, not equals, greater than or equal to, less than or equal to, substring, I have the and the or, as well as starts with and not starts with. So I have all those different options I can use. What about getting a specific customer by ID via the managed API? So the way, instead of calling the property of query, everything else is the exact same, except instead of calling query, I call the by ID method. And when I call the by ID method, I'm going to pass in the ID of the customer I want, and then I do dot get open close parens, and that will go get that specific customer. So the code looks a little bit like this. So I'm going to go get my partner object, and then say partner.customers dot by ID dot get. Now, what about using the REST API? Again, the process is the same as querying for customers, except this time the difference is that I'm going to pass on the GUID on the end of the customer endpoint. So it looks a little bit like this. I've got api.partnercenter.microsoft.com/v1/customers, and then there's the GUID right after it. And here's what the response is that I'm going to get back for that specific customer. I've got the ID, I have some other properties about relationship to partner, the profile, allow delegated access. And there's a bunch of additional properties that comes back that come back as well. Okay, so let me show you what how this looks in the code. So if I come over here, if I look in Visual Studio, there's a couple things that you want to take a look at. So let me go ahead and open up my SDK sample. This is the console app that you can get from Partner Center's the github.com/partnercentersamples, and this is the SDK console app. Under the customers section, or first under the context piece where we see this scenario context, that's where we can do all of our authentication. So I showed you this in the previous module on the sample code, but there is a method in here for getting the user partner operations. And what this does is it's first going to log in the user to Azure AD, and then it's going to come over here and it's going to get an instance of the partner credentials by saying partner credentials instance dot generate by user creds. And then I'm going to pass in the ID of the app, an authentication token, and then some other stuff to where if the token expires. Once I get those credentials, I then am going to get an instance of the aggregate partner by saying partner service.instance.create partner operations. Okay. Now, the code for working with customers is all going to be found inside this customers folder here. The first one that we want to look at is the get paged customers. So this is how I get a list of all the customers that are out there. So the way that this code is working here is you can see that I'm checking to see if the current page size, which is something that is that may or may not be set. If the current page size is less than or equal to zero, then I'm just going to say go get all the customers. Now, when I do that by default, it will only limit to 200, so it's only going to stay set at 200. The next thing I have here is that I can create a query. So here I've created my partner operations customers query, and then creating a query object by saying query factory.instance.build index query, and I'm looking for a page of whatever the page is set to. That is going to give me a customer's page, and I'm then going to create an enumerator by saying partner ops.enumerators customers create one using this customer's page object, and then that's going to allow me to step through all the different results that came back. So does it have a value, which means I actually got some results back, write out the current one that you're on, and then move next, and then it just redoes the loop here, this while loop, to be able to see all the results. What if I wanted to filter customers? So here I have a filter customers class, and this one, when I scroll down and look at the run scenario context for this one, this one is going to go through and look at the search prefix. So it's prompting the user that's running the console app to do a read non-empty string. So it's going through and it's actually querying the console app for the user to enter something in. All right, so there's what we're going to be looking for, whatever the value is. And then it's going to come over here and create a new query object. So it's going to do that. It's going to pass that query object, the simple query object. It's going to pass it into the query method here. And this simple field query that you see that's opening up right here is going to say we're going to look at the customer search field, which starts with, and then this prefix right here. So it's going to look up for customers with that name. All right. Now the last one I want to show you is what about getting a specific customer? So we'll look at the customer details. Let's scroll down to his run scenario. Here, to get a specific customer, I have an ID of a customer that I want to look at. And this was collected from the command prompt here. So you can see it's obtaining a customer ID. It's pulling that back from the console. I'm going to say partnerops.customers by ID, and then it's going to return that value back by saying get, and it's just going to write that object out. we can see what all this stuff looks like as well, looking at a Fiddler trace. So if I go over to my customers folder here for this module and I open up this trace, we can see a few things as well. Here's getting a list of customers, my top 100 customers. So here, I'm just getting my top 100 customers. I'm passing in an authorization header, and I'm getting back, in this case here, I only had one customer, but I'm getting back all of the customers that I had. At this point, it was Wingtip Toys too. What about if I want to do a filter? And in this case here, this filter, if I go to the web forms, it'll pull off stuff on the query string, and you see here I'm filtering based on the domain, the value of Wingtip, and the operator is equal to starts with. And it's going to find one customer because the customer starts with the word Wingtip. This one's looking for the company name of Wingtip. So the first one's looking for the domain, this one's looking for the company name, and it also finds it because Wingtip is in the company name and in the domain. This last one here, what is this doing? This is looking up, as you see here, with API Partner Center, Microsoft.com/V1/customers. I'm passing in a GUID, and I'm getting a specific customer. You can see all the different data that I'm getting back for this customer. I've got things like billing profile, their default address. I got their email, first name, last name. We have the company profile, so the name and the domain, the tenant ID or the ID of the actual customer. And then I have some additional links too where I can find, get information back to the specific customer. Okay. I have other things here that we're looking up as well. This one, if I scroll over, this one is getting the billing profile by looking at the customer details and then /profile/billing, and it's just giving me the billing profile information here. This one is doing something similar. It's going to update the billing profile, actually. So you can see here it's doing an HTTP put. Now the difference here is that when I go look at, let's see, oh, I can see what it did. It added an A to our company name. So here, if I go look at the JSON that was submitted, there it is right there. There's the 2A right there on the company name. And you can see it gave me back the response of what that company name was. So here it did it when it actually went and got it first. You see that the name was did not have an A on it. And the second time, it actually had an A on it. Okay? And you notice too, between the two, as I click back and forth, you can notice that the E tag between the two values is changing. See the E tag right here changing. So when I want to update it, make sure I update it with the right value. Okay? So that's querying customers. So let's jump back to the slides. And now let's look at creating customers. So creating customers with the managed API is very similar to the querying customers. You're first going to authenticate, and then what you have to do is you have to go create a company profile object, a billing profile object, and then a customer object. And then you're going to create an instance of the iPartner object and call iPartner.customers.create and pass in that customer object. So here's what a new company profile looks like. So I'm creating a new customer company profile object, specifying the domain name and the company name. Then I'm creating a billing profile, specifying the language and the culture and the person's name and their email address and their default billing address. And then I'm going to create the customer object. I'm passing in, setting the property of the company profile and the billing profile equal to those two values. And then I'm going to get the scoped partner operations and create the customer by saying partner.customers.create and pass in the customer. Now, when I do this with REST, there's a little bit more work that I have to do here. I have to not only go through and issue a post to create the customer, but I have to also include the content type and content length of the data that I'm going to be sending across. So the content type is JSON. The content length is the string value of how long the string is. And the last but not least is including the customer as a JSON object in the body of the request. So I'm going to issue an HTTP post over to the customer's endpoint. That's the collection of customers. And then I'm going to pass in all these other properties. So notice here that all these other headers that I'm passing in, the only two that are new are the content type is application JSON at the end, And then the content length is the length of the of characters in the JSON string I'm sending across. And then I'm going to pass in the body of the request. I'm going to specify the actual JSON object. And I do that on a new line. It doesn't actually say body colon and then the JSON object. It would just be the actual JSON object. So let's take a look at this. If I go back over here to my demo, and let's look at the code for creating a customer. Let's look at the run scenario bit. So what the run scenario thing is doing is it's calling this, creating a new customer object, and it's first specifying the company profile right here. So there's the company profile with the domain, and we're also going to get a company name right here. So we have the whole thing listed out for the company name, okay? The next thing that we're going to have is we have the billing profile. So the billing profile is some information about the person that we're billing and the default address, right? So there's the default address for this, for creating a customer. Once I've created my customer object, I'm then going to come down and say partneroperations.customers create and pass in the customer. And that'll give me back the customer object that's just going to be written out. The REST request, let's clear all this out. Let's look at the REST request for the same thing of creating a customer. So after authenticating, I'm going to create a customer. So here, if I look at the raw request at the top, you can see I'm issuing a post to the V1 customer's endpoint. I'm authenticating, accept, contract, request ID, correlation, locale. Everything is what you're used to seeing. And then there's the content type is application JSON, and the content length is 747 characters. And then there's the actual JSON string. If I look at the actual JSON string, you'll see it comes out like this. Right? So there's our billing profile, and there's our company profile. And then once it creates it, it's actually going to give me back the actual thing that was created. So that's how we can create customers. Let's look at how we can delete customers. Now, this is going to be useful to you, especially in your developer account, where you have a limit of only 25 customers that you can have in your integration sandbox. You're going to have to delete these customers in order to move on and have additional customers in there. So the way I'm going to do that is I'm first going to go through and just get an instance of the customer object, and I'm going to get a specific customer and then call delete. Very straightforward. Code for that is really simple. Partner.customers.byid, pass in the ID of the customer you want to delete, and then just call delete. For the REST API, you're going to issue an HTTP delete command to the endpoint for the specific customer. So if we look at the code for that, it's just an HTTP delete and then to the endpoint of V1/customers and then the GUID for that customer. So let's look at the code for that in the sample app. So here, I'm going to fetch from the console what customer we want to delete. In this case here, it's actually going to use the configuration in the app config setting. If you remember, there was a setting in the app config for deleting a customer. So here I'm going to get that ID, and then I'm going to come over here and say, make sure that is a valid ID. And then it's going to come down, if one was not passed in or specified in the configuration, it actually is going to prompt for one. And then it comes down here and just says, go delete the customer. Go to partneroperations.customers.byid, find the customer, and then call delete. The REST request for this, come over here and look at my delete. You can see here I'm just issuing an HTTP delete to customers with that GUID, and the response that comes back is 204 no content. So again, 200s are good successes that come back, are good response codes that come back. No content means, or 204 no content means you deleted something. I have nothing to give you other than just say it worked. Okay, so now let's go back to our slides and let's talk about managing customers. We have the ability to do a couple different things with the Partner Center SDK. We can get available customers, the available managed services for a customer, and then we can also enable checking for available initial domains prior to the customer account creation. That's something we could not do with the Crest API. So it only checks to see if the subdomain is from on Microsoft.com. That's the default domain that you get when you create a new account with, say, Office 365 or Azure. You get whatever the account is that you created, dot, on Microsoft.com. And you can add in your own top-level domains and validate them with Azure and Office 365 to use them in other spots. So, how can we do that? So to check for the domain availability, the way you're going to do that is by say partner.domains.bydomain, pass in the name of the domain. Remember, this is the first part of the domain. And you're going to say .exists. And that's going to give you back a Boolean value if it exists or not. The REST API version of this is you're just going to pass go to that URL, issue an HTTP GET, and if it comes back with a success, that means that the domain is already in use. If it comes back with a bad request, then that means that the domain does not exist, and so you can use it. So it's kind of a little bit backwards logic there, if you think about it, right? If you query for that the URL of that domain, then you and you get a successful response, then that says that the domain is in use because it exists. If it doesn't exist, then you're going to get a bad response back of like a 400, and that's what you want because that's going to tell you that, hey, this customer can use that domain, right? So you're looking for a bad response for a good thing you're going to tell the customer. Make sense? Okay, so let's look at the code for this. So I'm going to jump back over to my code, and let's look at the check domain availability. So here on the check domain availability, I'm going to say we're going to have a partner prefix. So we're going to look for the actual prefix that the user wants to look for that they want to use. And I'm then going to say partner operations dot domains dot by domain, the domain prefix, does it exist? And I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to do the inverse of it to see if it's available, right? Because if it does not exist, then that means it is available. So I'm going to do the inverse of that by putting the exclamation point on the front. Okay. The REST API version of this is exactly what you would expect that we saw from the slides. So if I'm going to come back over here and look at that trace, you can see here I got a 404 back. That's telling me that, hey, it wasn't found. If it wasn't found, that means it's available, right? So I did a country validation. Oh, that's the wrong one. I did a domain validation. Let's see, where's my domain validation? More. We'll take a look at this, and let's do this. Let me come back here and we'll run it so we can actually see what the domain validation looks like. So let's run the app. I'm going to open up Fiddler and stop the app and make sure it actually gets caught. So stop that. And let's open up, let's start the app again. So customer samples, check domain availability. So let's check a domain that we know is not available. So we created one called wingtiptoys05. And it says bad input is not available to us. So we come back over here and look at the REST request, and you see here that it says that, sorry, it's bad request, it's not available. And if I put a domain in there that was not available, then it would come back with the two, would say that, you know, hey, it's no good, right? So we could actually use that. But you see what the request looks like there is v1/domains and then the domain itself. Okay. All right. So again, let's jump back to our slides. And the last thing I want to talk about are some common issues. So let's talk about some of the different challenges that you can run into when you're working with customers. I see these a lot with partners, and so you may see these yourself. First thing, over time, things change. So Microsoft may add new fields to the databases that actually are storing partner records and customer records. They may decide that certain fields, maybe things that is a line of business thing that Microsoft thinks that now it's a required field, or the validation rules are going to change. Maybe they'll get more stringent. Maybe they'll reflect some sort of an environmental change outside of the entire partner program that we can't control. Like, let's just say that, you know, a new state was added to the United States, or state code was changed. I mean, you don't know, these things could happen, but those validation rules, things, you know, things have changed in the past. The trick is that if customer records have been created and these different things change in the system, then your records in your Partner Center account may not reflect these new changes. So, like, for example, there may have been a time when the name on the billing profile was not required, right? Now it is required. And so you may have customer accounts, customer records inside of your Partner Center configuration that have no names in them. And what's going to happen is that when you then go to place an order for one of those customers, the validation work is going to kick in, and it may kick back an error with the validation saying an invalid customer name. And you may be thinking, wait a minute, we didn't change the customer name. The customer name has been the same. We just are trying to submit a new order. And it's because there's new validation rules that have now kicked in since the last time the customer was there. So one of the techniques that you might want to do, like for the customer name being a required field, is that you may want to do checks before you actually try and place the order to see if their names are valid. And one way of doing that is to just try and do a simple update of the exact same data and passing it back and seeing if there's an error. You could write a little console application that tore through all of your customers and did something like that to check to see if certain fields were no longer valid or are now required. And then you could do proactive kind of data cleanup by reaching out to customers and saying, well, we need to update our records, and et cetera, et cetera. Other stuff that we could have is address validation. So a common thing, request that we had in the Crest API that I heard from many partners was that when they would submit requests to Microsoft to create a new order or a new customer, they would get an error back with the customer address validation. And they really wanted to find out what the logic was that Microsoft was using for doing validation lookups. Well, thankfully now that in the Partner Center SDK, we now have a way to do that. It's not exactly asking Microsoft to validate it. We just are asking Microsoft to instead give us the rules that you're using for your validation so that we can apply those same rules before we actually send a customer creation request to you. So the way that that works is that there is an object called the country validation rules. And so you can say partner.countryvalidationrules by country, pass in the country, the two-digit or the two-character country code, and say .get. And you can get a list of all these things, like what, for in this case here, what are the valid states, and if that's required. You can do the same thing here with the address validation request with the REST API. All right, and here's what a sample response looks like that you're gonna get back. You can say things like, is the city field required? Yes. Is postal code and state required? Yes, they are. What's the regular expression that's used to look up a phone number? What's the regular expression used to look up a postal code? What are the different supported cultures? What are the supported states that are available to us? What does the tax ID format look like? What's the sample tax ID number look like? And you can use that data to look at the data that's submitted back to Partner Center that you use to go create a new customer. And you can do that and do the validation yourself before sending the data to Microsoft and having to handle an exception. All right, so if we look at the code for this, here's the customer address validation, or validate the customer address. So here, I'm going to say partneroperations.countryvalidationrules by country and pass in a country code and get those validation rules back out. What kind of data am I going to get? Well, let's take a look at what we get using Fiddler. So here, there's a validation rule right here, where I can look at, I did a request for the country validation rules /US, and the response that I got back, you can see the default culture, what's the ISO code for it, is US, is the VAT ID supported? Not in the United States, it is in Europe, obviously, though. Here's the supported cultures, ENUS, ESUS, supported languages, and then all the states that are valid to be passed in, right? So you can think of it, you could use that to pre-fill a drop-down list of all the supported states when someone changed their country code, okay? And you can even see if it's a valid country code or not. Another thing that we can do too is we can look up MPN, MPN IDs. So here, I just did a request here to say v1/profile/MPN, and it gave me information about my MPN ID for the currently logged on user and the partner he's tied to. But here I can actually look up a specific partner, and I'm passing in a specific ID. So the MPN ID equals 4584838, and that's kicking back one called test_test_var3. So I can actually see a valid partner. Okay. So let's jump back to our slides and let's do a recap. In this module, we looked at how we could work with customers using the Partner Center SDK, both the managed API and the REST API. We looked at some of the new capabilities available to us in the Partner Center SDK. We looked at how to get partners' customers, how to create customers, how to delete them, how to get a customer's profile, like their billing profile and their company profile, how to manage customers, and how to get some additional information about the customers, as well as dealing with some common issues. We'll look at the customer subscription and order stuff as well in the next module when we talk about Office 365, which deals with subscriptions, with offers, add-ons, and creating orders.